Record.
Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I am so happy to be. First of all, I'm so happy to see you. It's been so long. I'm so happy to be interviewing you for this article. Let's just start. Let's talk about like history and stuff. When did you realize you wanted to do music?
Oh, yeah. So I realized I wanted to do music when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I would just do shows like for my family, like in the living room, and just make things up or just recite things that I saw on like Disney Channel and all that stuff.
Right.
So I knew I wanted to do that when I was a kid.
That's nice. So, like, what is your earliest memory of doing something like significantly creative? Like, okay.
Yeah, just making like creating a talent show in my living room in a family reunion. I literally just like curated a talent show. I would run back to my room and put on different outfits, different wigs and all that stuff, and then come out as like different characters and just sing and all of that. So I knew at a very young oh I knew at a very young age that I wanted to be a musician or perform just in general. I knew it would have like different sides of myself, but I knew I wanted to definitely like do music, make music.
Right. So it always stuck with you. It's just like now it's like it just keeps evolving. So like did you ever want to do anything else besides music, or was it always
Oh yeah, so it was just performance period. Like anything that I was performing, I just wanted to be a part of it, like music, dancing, acting. What else? I don't even know. I know that those were my strengths though, like music,
Right.
dance, acting. I would go to different programs for that, and I would be in like musicals in my school from like elementary all the way up to high school. So I
Right.
know that that was definitely something that I really had big passions in, because I was just always sticking with it, and I just always liked performing and putting myself out there and doing things creatively.
Right. That's good. So how did it feel the first time you completed a full song, and what song was it?
Yeah, it felt very, very, like euphoric, like I don't even know the word. Just like it just felt out of this world, and I felt very lifted and very empowered. It was crazy. I didn't feel real. And it was the first song I feel like I completed and like recorded would be a song called What Do You See? And that song was like probably around like 1 minute and 20 seconds, and it was just like kind of a snippet. And I was just in my friend's crib, and we were just recording. He was recording, and then I hopped on, and then I was just like, "Yo, like, why do I not make music for real, like, you know?" And so I put that on SoundCloud, but I was just crazy. And then the feedback that I got from that, it just kind of like inspired me and like made me more confident to move forward and make more music.
Right.
Yeah.
That brings us to the Keeping It Real EP, which you released in 2019, consists of five songs, such as SOS, which you recently released a music video for, Gordo, and Hey Young World. So how long was this EP in the works for before it got released?
So I was working on Keeping It Real for probably like 3. We did that very quickly. It was so crazy. Maybe like 2 months of recording, and then like the rollout for it, I would say in total maybe like four months. Yeah, like four or three months, because I really did like I went through that and just did
Right.
it. I was just so like excited to get it done. And then recording it, yeah, it was like only like a total of like eight sessions. Like I would just go in and record, and then the last few sessions was just cleaning up all of the tracks. So yeah, I was just on a roll, and I felt very like I was just in tune with my own vibration. I just curated that in the speed of light. And what was the other question?
That was it. That was it. How's it going? So is there like a general theme, a central focus? Like what are the messages you're trying to like when you wrote when you were writing music? Like what was the focus that was in your mind?
Yes, it was basically kind of just introducing people to me as an artist. So my artist name being Really Real, and the project being called Keeping It Real, introducing people to me, but also like the theme of who I what I represent, but also what I want to project and like coming out as an artist, your first project, everyone's kind of paying attention to that, or everyone comes back to that. So I wanted it to be something that represented me well. So just like authenticity, vulnerability, the themes of honesty, the themes of like just going through struggles and coming out of it, like guiding yourself out, being your own mentor and your own like sticking with yourself for guidance. That was pretty much like what the message of the project was, and just like trusting your own power and basically empowerment. Like that was really the themes of the first project, and also themes that I feel like I'll be representing like my whole entire music career. So that's why I wanted that to be the name of the first project. And just in general, like I wanted to like let go of those songs, because I wanted people to hear it and kind of see themselves in it and see who they are, where they are currently, like wherever you are, just knowing that they're enough and all of that stuff.
Right. It was certainly very empowering. Thank you very much for that EP. It's also on all platforms if you're watching this, anybody. So it's on all platforms, YouTube, all music videos and everything. So what was it like shooting the different music videos?
So shooting the different music videos, basically, it was just so crazy. Like, I shot some on my phone, and then I shot one two professionally. So it was just really, it taught me a lot about patience, and it taught me a lot about like using what you have, and that being enough. Like what you have is enough. It doesn't matter what you have. There's like you'll find a way, and what you have is enough. And so shooting the music videos was very exciting and very, very, very fun. Like the whole process was very fun. There was times where I was on a roller coaster, we shot that stuff. There was times where I was at the pier. I just shot things locally too, like in the Brooklyn, Manhattan area. I didn't really go so far to shoot stuff on this project because I wanted to like showcase things that were close to my environment, and as much as I wanted to showcase my experiences as much as I could in the project. But yeah, shooting the music videos was very challenging too, in the sense that like I didn't have the resources of like all the other artists that I follow or other artists that I'm surrounded by have. So like some people are signed to labels, some people all right, but they have enough money, or they have grants, or whatever the case. And I'm just fueling this off of my job, my 9 to 5, or my savings, or whatnot, or things that I got from merch, selling merch. So, and then I'm just putting that back into paying videographer, paying for the clothing and all that stuff, and the makeup. And it's just like, but it ended up working out. I just had to be patient and really just like work with myself throughout the process and be present throughout the whole way. Because for instance, SOS took like a year and a half to fully complete. So that really showed me like, okay, like patience is very needed. And even as COVID was going crazy, like we still came back on Zoom and finished editing it that way. So it was very challenging, very annoying at times, but it all made sense. And at the end of the day, it was worth it.
Yeah, the effort definitely shines through. The hard work, it definitely shines through in like the video.
Thank you.
The effort you put into it, it's magnificent. How do you think the EP has affected not just your career, but like your life and others in general? How did your audience receive it?
Yeah, I didn't even think it would go so crazy the way that it did. But I definitely think for my life first, I think
It allowed me to really see myself and my strengths outside of myself. And it allowed me to see, okay, like, I can do this. This isn't just a dream. This isn't just like a fantasy that some people, you know, pass away and wish that they could have come to. It's something that's real and it can happen right now. And I think that's what the project really showed me. It showed me like I can also really complete something, because for my whole life, I really didn't really complete things. I would start something and not really finish it, like, you know, because I just would procrastinate, which is also a product of just like, you know, not really believing in your potential and your not believing in your efforts enough. Because when you procrastinate, you're kind of just like, it's like you're kind of fearful of something. So I kind of like was very proud of myself that I actually completed the project in the time that I did, and I released it, and I got such good feedback from that. And that really showed me, okay, like, let's keep doing that. Let's be consistent and let's keep releasing, because not only is it good for you, but how other people reacted to the project. They actually got the message. They actually felt it. They actually understood me and they understood themselves. Like, I think that it was literally exactly what I wanted it to be, like how I want the images, the community I wanted to build around it, the event, the space, the energy I wanted to create was created. So it really showed me like, wow, like, okay, like people are really in tune with what I'm doing. Like, I'm not invisible, you know, like it's possible. And yeah.
Yeah, the keeping it real art show was a huge success, honestly. Such an
Thank
amazing,
you.
such an amazing energy that you really pulled. So,
Thank you.
community. You do a lot for your community. You've done clothing drives, neighborhood cleanup projects after the protests and everything. So, what is something you've learned about people and the world through these events that you do?
I think what I've learned is that at first, people may seem, or people will say that people are lazy, or like that they don't care, that, you know, that people just really like that'll really be like the first thing when I say like what I want to do in the community. People will kind of be like, oh, people are lazy though, you know, like they don't care, or it doesn't matter that much to people. But that's not true. What I realized through like creating events for the community is that they do care. It's just there's a lot of stuff in front of where their heart is. And it takes time to like chip that stuff away to get to who this person really is. And you just have to have that energy. You just have to have that. You just need one person that'll look at you for who you are and not from who the world has taught you to be. And you'll show up. That's what I really learned. Like, you know, especially in doing stuff like the community cleanups, like I've had people tell me, like, oh, I don't really want to pull up because, like, you know, the government should be doing this. Like, why would I be cleaning the streets? That's not my job. Like, let's let, you know, white folk or the government do that. And I was just like, bro, like, you know, at the end of the day, we can't wait for other people to care about you. You got to care about you, and you got to care about your family and, you know, your community first. And they never really thought of it like that. And the reason why is because, you know, we have that, like, you know, we're old. We gotta, like, other people gotta do it for us, but we never really. And the reason why we're like that is because of history, you know? So it was just like, you know, doing things for the community, especially the Black community, was like very beautiful and very empowering, because I feel like we got to really reflect and really see that, like, what we want to do for ourselves and what we get to do is not a product of other people. It's literally just like our choice and in right now. And yeah, like I learned a lot about people in general, like a lot. I've learned so much, especially releasing the project too, like just in general, like even shy people or people that would say that they're not extroverted, or they, you know, like I've seen someone that's like so quiet come to one of my shows or one of my events, quiet as hell, not really talking to nobody. And people would feel like they're just like non-social.
But then you talk to them and you really see them for who they are, and then boom, they're dancing by the end of the night. And like that just showed me so much. It's like, you know, judgments and all that stuff really is, it's just really not always, it's just not needed. Like just see people for who they are. At least try, and you'll see, like you'll really see people. Like people are actually really beautiful. And
That's
that's what I learned about. That's what I really learned this past 2 years, to be honest, throughout this whole career. Like, yeah.
definitely so important. A lot of people, you know, everyone has their own story, and it's really wonderful that you really kind of like highlight that in general with everything you do. So what's your motivation? What makes you get up and say, okay, today I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna go do that, like.
Yeah. My motivation is really just my younger self, just knowing all the dreams and all the things that she had and she wanted to get to. Like, I'm basically like pulling her with, like, holding her hand with me and like reminding her that it's gonna happen. And then my future self. That's really like what keeps me really, really going. And then just like my family, making sure that my grandparents and my mom get to have that place that they've always wanted, that space, you know, in nature, in Dominican Republic, the big house, you know.
Exactly.
But just in general, it's just peace and joy. But like what really inspires me is like my past and my future self, like just combined into this present moment, like guiding me to where I'm going.
Right. That's lovely. Why do you believe, what do you believe is the importance of being intrinsically involved with your community?
Oh, I think it's important because it keeps you humble, and it also, you're like, being selfish doesn't get you very far in life. So if you're just all about me, I, like, when you think you're alone, or when you move as if you're alone, you're gonna get to where you want to go in a way more longer time versus if you realize and lean on to people around you. So I feel like that's what I wanted to really practice with myself, and then also inspire my friends to do, and just people in general.
Right.
Anyone that has been looking at me or looking up to me, like, I definitely do say, like, you know, if you want to get somewhere, you can't get there alone. So that's why I say, like, tap into your community, find things to do, give back. You can't expect to receive. And you haven't given back. Like, that's just how things manifest. And that's just in general, like, you know, I think it's very important to give back. Because,
Right.
you know, just in general, like, not even doing it for the sense of karma, but in general, like, when you give, you receive. And it's like, if you really see people for who they are, if you give to them, if you don't judge them, that same will happen to you naturally.
Right.
So yeah, I just think it's very important to give back. And then also it's like, you know, you never know when you'll be in a position like someone else. You know, we're so easy to judge, and then you never know. Like half of the time, people in the community, people that are living in the street, or people that are just in general in sticky situations, you know, they never assumed they would be there. They didn't say, "Oh, I want to be here." You know what I mean? So it's important to like help others, because you really never know.
Exactly. What kind of changes do you hope to see in your community?
Oh yeah. Just more love, more connection, more unity. I definitely want to see housing for people without homes. What happened?
So important. That's really important. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then also changes wise, there has been some beautiful changes so far that I do want to acknowledge though. Like the community fridges that have been happening are so beautiful in my community. The cleanups that have been happening now, just people giving food. Like
Hey.
there's this guy named Paperboy Prince. He's really dope, and he has like a storefront not too far from me, and he's really dope. He like gives food to people, to anybody, and he has community fridges in front of his thing. He does events for the community. It's really beautiful. But yeah, I've just been seeing some beautiful changes.
But yeah, in general, I just think like it's an energy that I think the world needs, because we can't really look at it's I've learned through doing community work, like it's not about the product, it's about the energy to get to the product. So like if we want to eliminate racism, if we want to eliminate violence and all that stuff, what energy just has to be there for that to get that? Because you can't just eliminate it. It'll just be masked if the energy isn't healed on. So yeah, I just think your community just needs healing, love, unity right now, and like people seeing each other and really like uplifting each other. Because I think that once that happens, I think the products will naturally just shift.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely reflected in the Juneteenth celebration. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a lot of people
Was
agree.
beautiful.
That was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Website. The Really Real website is live. It went live on my
Ah.
It's so stunning. And it's just like I was looking at it was just so amazed, and everything's just moving and so pretty and so organized.
Thank
I love
you.
the organized website.
Yay.
The design is just so immaculate. So I am aware that you built it yourself, which is so amazing to me. Can you walk us through the process of building the website?
Yeah, so building the website was like that took some time too. That was kind of like something I started right before COVID, and then I finished it like a month ago. So that was probably like a year-ish, a year of like just coming to it. I didn't rush it. At first I was rushing it, but I was like, yeah, like let me just chill. And I just went to it like every now and then. I don't even, it wasn't a specific rhythm. I just would come to it, fix it up, fix some things. And I basically just like, you know, what I'm very colorful. So I tried my best to keep like a lot of different colors in there. I like primary colors a lot. So I had the blues, the reds. And in general, I just wanted people to come on there and like be able to get an idea of my energy. So when you come on, you know, it's just like it has the different layers of things that I'm like occupied in. So like community involvement, the shows I have. So I'm really excited that it's organized now because I feel like I really needed that. So now when I do events and I do all this stuff, people can just come to one place. It's not like a different link in my bio every day. Like, nah, like you just come to my website, you could find my music or anything in that little like hub.
Right. It's so nice to just have like a centralized location for everything. What are some challenges you faced while building the website, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, there was some point where I just looked at it. I was just like, bruh, I don't want to do this. I was like, I don't even have money, but I'm about to pay somebody real quick to just help me do this, bro. It was just like the layouts of things, and I just was having issues with like coding for a long time. So I had to really research and go on YouTube and all this stuff, and I kept calling people up to figure it out. But I ended up, that was really the only challenge. The only challenge was like layout and like wanting to make things move, but didn't not knowing how to do it. So I had to really research coding and stuff like that. But everything has a solution. It's just a matter of like being patient.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really very inspiring because I took coding, and at some point, at some point, I was like, I'm done with this class. Yeah, coding it's so because
Yeah.
it's so cool that you're well-rounded like that because everyone just sees you doing music, and it's like, wow, she's a musician, she's good, and it's like, I code too. That's really good. That's really awesome. How do you think computer science and technology intersect with art and creativity in this digital age?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, of course. That's so important right now. Honestly, I think they are hand in hand right now. Like everything right now is digital. Especially since COVID hit, things got even more digital. You can't go physically to see a concert. So it's so important to like know how to mesh digital and reality into one, and kind of creating like an experience that people can try to grasp from a screen or from TV or a computer. I think it's really powerful too in a way. Just in also in the like areas of journalism too, because a lot of news or a lot of things that wouldn't have gotten out in the past, where things are only on like a newspaper or written down, now it's so public. So like your music can really, if you do things right, your music or news or whatever, even outside of music, your like content or whatever can get out to so many people from all over the world, because literally we're in a digital era.
Right.
But at times it is also scary, because like I've been feeling it right now. Like I'm like, yo, I want to do an event physically, because I really miss that physical interaction. Like not just seeing someone on a screen, or like, you know, like, or seeing things in that way, like going to a concert for real, not just a live stream. That's like how I've been feeling. And I think that's so important for humanity too, because it's like, we can't get so comfortable with screens. We got to also like be able to like branch out. Right. But I think this is also allowing us to like kind of miss that physical interaction. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like a restart, because we would all be at events, picnics, and I would see people on their phones and stuff. So I feel like now things would be different. You've been on your phone for like a whole year and a half, like, you know, like now let's like actually talk and like connect and stuff. So
right, because humans are physical beings, like we need to be in community. So but it's definitely a good way to adapt. I think I'm very glad the technology available to us. I can't imagine if this happened in a couple years ago, before we had computers and everything. So yeah.
I cannot imagine. Yeah, we'd probably just be like reading or something. Reading, writing, we figured it out.
The pigeon mail. Tie it to a pigeon and send it to someone.
We would figure it out. What the hell?
Okay, some general thoughts. Throughout your journey as a creative, as an artist, what are some setbacks you face, just in general?
Setbacks. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I've experienced setbacks, because everything that kind of maybe challenges, because everything that kind of got in my way or whatever, it helped me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like that. Honestly, I would say that's like a set forward or whatever. Not because really, like all challenges, I feel, come into my life and others' lives, I've noticed, to grow you, to help you grow. Like nothing has really set me back. Nothing, not even COVID has set me back. Like honestly, it's allowed me to do so many things that I don't think I would have done before. Mm-hmm. So at first, I think I would have said like maybe like when COVID first started, I was so angry and I was so mad, and it took me a moment to really accept that we were in what was going on, and just like in our cribs and had to be there. But once I realized, okay, wait, I'm in my crib. Wasn't I just saying like I wanted more time to be home and to relax and to create and to not be so rushed around and go to work? So it actually happened. So, you know, like the biggest challenge was just finding where the growth was in that. But yeah, I think it was just biggest setbacks, I think, or just challenges really would just be that. And then my own, you know, my own mind, like, you know, at times negative thoughts and anxiety and different things like that do come up. So it's just really grounding myself and reminding myself of, you know, who I am and what I can do. And also just knowing that like I create who I am. So if I ever feel like I'm stuck or all this stuff, that's actually an illusion, because I actually create who I am every day. Yeah.
Right. You often speak about gender fluidity, and you're expressive about not wanting to be confined in a box. What does gender fluidity mean to you?
Ooh, to me, it's just, you know, one day you wake up a cat, one day you wake up a dog, you know what I mean? Like, it's very, honestly, I'm learning what it means more and more every day. It's very, very, very interesting, but to describe, it's very interesting and kind of challenging sometimes. But for me, it's just like allowing myself to express the way I want to express. So you know, honestly, I relate more to like the terms of like feminine and masculine, versus like men and women. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll be more feminine or I'll be more masculine these days, but I don't feel like I'm necessarily a woman or a man. And yeah, it's weird. It's like I'm in this space of like having my own power and having my own definition and redefining what that means for me every day.
Mm-hmm. So it's an ever evolving definition.
Yeah, it really is. For me, it really is. It's like kind of just like art, like, I'm just following what my spirit feels. Mm-hmm. And my spirit doesn't really have a gender. So that's really why I chose to express as gender fluid. Cause it's like, you know, I don't think my spirit has a gender. I think my spirit is just is, and it flows in different ways. So I want to allow my spirit to really have enough room to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so art is defined as self-expression. Define art as it pertains to you.
To me, art is just life. Art is creation, any form of creation, any form of life. I feel like living things are art. Like, I could really, science to me is art, you know, like math is art. I think art's around us. So when people say someone's not an artist, it's BS, because it's like art is just creation, like a form of creation. This computer behind me is art. My phone is art, you know. I think art is really life and just creation.
Right. It exists everywhere. Okay, so are really real and Jalae Williams separate identities or personas, or do you feel that they intersect and are intertwined? It's so important.
I think I'm learning how to intertwine them more now. But before, they were more so like different personas, in the sense that, like, I think they're both me, of course. Like, it's not like I just come on stage.
Yeah.
Like, now they're both me. I just think Jalae is more of a more introverted than really real is. I think really real will step on that stage and be like, and tell Jalae's story for her, but with her. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like really real is like this, like, it's like the younger, it's what younger me needed. Mm-hmm. So really real is an embodiment of like the confidence, the empowerment, the honesty, the kind of like the guardian that real, that Jalae needed. But they're still both me. And I was just thinking about that the other day, like, you know, my close friends call me Jalae, and then people that I meet call me Real. So it's definitely two different things. It's like there's definitely different boundaries or whatever. I don't know if boundaries is the right word, but just like, it's definitely two different things, but they're definitely together at the same time. It's very weird. Yeah, that was a good question.
Right. Okay. Your life is so busy and it can appear incredibly exciting to the outsider. How do you take care of your mental health?
Oh yeah, I ground myself daily, and then I do some Reiki. Reiki, you know what Reiki is?
The beads?
No, Reiki.
I keep saying I mean like centering your chakra.
So Reiki is like when you use your hands to heal your energetic body, so like your aura, your chakras, you release blocks. So I do it maybe like, even sometimes it's longer every day, sometimes it's really shorter depending on how much time I have, and it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I'm like on the train, I just ground and center myself. Mm-hmm. I meditate in the mornings to make sure my mind and my body is right. Sometimes I dance in my crib before I get to my day going. I just like, you know, put on some Afro beats and just start dancing. Do some yoga, go biking. Biking is so good for my mental health, man. Just overall, I just love it.
Right. I'm so glad the weather is becoming much warmer. Go biking.
Exactly. Yeah. But those are things that I do, and I journal.
Of course. You were born and raised in Brooklyn and New York City. How do you reflect those, and how is that reflected in your work and your art?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Yeah, Brooklyn is definitely in me and probably will always be in me. Brooklyn is so expressive and so expansive, like everything. I feel like Brooklyn has a little bit of every borough. It's so crazy because people from, I don't know who that is calling me. Oh, sorry, someone's calling me. I feel like people from the Bronx or people from different boroughs move to Brooklyn too. So I feel like it's just like I see so much different life here, like Hispanic, Asian, African, like all of that. Yo, who is calling me right now? Sorry, someone just keeps calling me and I'm trying to like, okay. Ooh, okay. Yeah, so do you, I feel like I just see so much different background and then like also living in Brooklyn on my block and in my community. It's just like there's music, there's good food. It's just like so well-rounded and anything I want, I can go and find it, you know what I mean? So I feel like I've seen how my environment and the resources around my environment have definitely influenced who I am in a way, like just in the sense of like creativity. Just people walk, ever since I was younger, I would just see people walking down, people with just dope style. I would see graffiti, I would see different things that show culture. So even from a young age, I was just always like, yo, like I want to grow up one day and I can't wait until I have the control to express myself the way I want to. So when you're younger, you know, in certain cultures, especially the Hispanic and the Black culture, that it's not really expressed for you to just be your own being. You really have to like listen to your elders in a sense and your ancestors, and follow the certain ways of culture, certain ways of tradition. So I didn't really have that full creative control over my expression until I really like hit high school, and that's when I just went off and started rebelling and all that stuff. But yeah, definitely Brooklyn is like where it's at for me. Like I just completely love it. I love everything that I see here and just how well-rounded it is for me, and I definitely see how it's inspired me to feel so comfort in my style, so comfortable in my style too. Like I can walk out and just feel like I'm in my own space because I see other people in their own space expressing themselves the way they do. And yeah, it's just, I love Brooklyn.
Great. Who would you say has had the most, like the greatest and the most consistent impact in your ongoing journey as an artist? Since you have your inner circle of friends, and then you have such this like large supportive network. So like narrow it down. Like who is it?
Oh, yeah, my mom. Yeah, my mom has been there since I was younger, never folded on me. You know, she's made almost every single one of my shows, not just really real shows. I'm talking like since I was a kid, you know, like even if she was running late for work because she was always working and hustling, she would always make my shows. So, like, my mom is definitely like my biggest supporter and my first fan, if anything. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, your mom's great. An amazing woman. Shout out to Julie's mom. Do you have anything upcoming? You mentioned that you're working on a bunch of projects all at once right now. Take it easy. But like anything you'd like to share if you want to. You don't have to, but
Yeah, yo, I'm just working on so much stuff. I just wanna it's so crazy. It's like I wanna just explode. Like it's just, and when I say that, I mean it's just like, oh, I have so many ideas and I know where they're at. Like I know exactly where things are. Like I have shit planned up 5 years from now, you know? Like it's just like really exciting. But yeah, definitely slow down, right? Like but yeah, definitely I have some dope things coming for this summer that I can't say yet. And then like some just crazy shit happening in the summer. And then after that, shit just it just keeps getting crazier. Like I can't really say things, but it's just like, yo, things just keep getting crazier and crazier. but it's definitely about being patient, and I'm just working towards everything little by little.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I get to those positions where things are released, that is released, and then I already got something else coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do that because I like to stay in constant motion, and I like to, you know, that's just who I am as a person. And I was always taught that, you know, like my mom always taught me, like, you know, don't just let one thing be one thing, like fuel everything simultaneously.
Right.
So I'm fueling all of my passions right now. So it's coming into one, like, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to be on the lookout as always. Like, now we're talking about the long, like, no specific time or like years, but what do you think is in store for the future of Billy Real, like in the long term? Could be 50 years from now, could be 10 years from now, literally.
Oh yeah. So I would say 10 years from now. Hell no, not 10 years. Maybe like 8 years from now, I'm definitely gonna be opening my own space, like my own hub for other creatives to create, to record, to throw events, to have fun, play some games, chill out, get out the street, you know, the youth and stuff. I definitely am gonna have my own like factory for that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in like 8 years before I'm 30.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna be, you know, doing my thing, touring, you know, hitting different cities, traveling the world. And then that space, once I create that first space, it's just gonna keep traveling from there. My goal is to have different spaces in different parts of the world, that people can come to. Right. And create in and feel safe and be themselves in, you know, like different cities.
Right. Just evolve right now. Right.
Yeah, that's definitely that's the big goal. Like, and I know that's just gonna be crazy.
It is. It is. All right, this is coming to an end. So what would you like to say to just creatives who might see this, artists, talents, anyone who might see this, just anybody?
I would say, if you were to create, like, how is this? What if nobody existed to see your art? Would you still create?
All right.
And then kind of just like write that down, like journal from there and see where your mind or where your spirit takes you. And wherever it takes you, yeah, like accept that and like explore that and keep going. Because I feel like that hit me for a while. Like, you know, it's definitely important to know why you're creating and what's the purpose around things. Because if you don't have a purpose, it kind of just like, you know, it kind of just, you lose the meaning of it. Because your purpose could just be for your own joy, your own fulfillment. But if your purpose is like something outside of yourself and like the need for attention or the need to be seen, you're always going to feel like your art isn't enough. Because there's so many people in this world, like you're always going to want more. So it's like definitely like explore that. Like, yo, if nobody existed, you know, would you still create? Like, if no one existed. Because I know a lot of people are going through that right now. Like, a lot of people are feeling unappreciated or like their art isn't being seen, and they're feeling like they're not being seen. But yeah, it's like, you know, I think we can't all do things for, we can't do things for attention. Like, because at the end of the day, you know, and that's really challenging too, us being in a digital age, because everybody's blowing up for the dumbest things right now. Like on TikTok, bro, people are blowing up for like just mouth lip singing, you know,
standing there.
And then I know other creatives are like, yo, what the fuck, like how are you blowing up for that? But I'm putting all this work into stuff, and it's like, you know, we can't even think about it like that. We got to really look at our art and be like, yo, this is timeless. Mm-hmm. And just keep creating, and not for other people. Like, just keep creating, because you never know. You never know who will find your stuff. You never know who will pick it up, you know, or who you might impact. Sometimes it's not even about that. It's about the impact. Like, you know, like, I wouldn't say that I'm in the range of, like, you know, a lot of artists that I follow or see right now. But I do know that I'm impacting people. Like, you know, I do know that I'm impacting people, and they hit me up and they tell me their stories, like you, like, you know, different people that I know that's real for me. And that's where I think my purpose lies in. The impact. Right. Yeah. Great.
All right. So we can find you on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music,
and YouTube.com.
RIOYRIO.com. I'm so happy for you and everything that you've accomplished. Thank you for meeting me for, like, with this Zoom meeting and just answering questions and talking to me. It's so insightful. I love the way your mind works. Love listening.
Thank you.
And I'm just so excited to see where Really Real goes from here. It's just,
Thank you.
That's already happened, and I'm always gonna be here supporting and just looking and also doing my own thing as well.
That's lit, man.
Really thanks to you as well, because you're just so inspiring, and you're just, like, really, you're just great. And you probably impacted way more people than you think you did. You probably have no idea how many people you've already impacted as it is. But I just wish you the best.
And I thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, yo. And thanks for interviewing me.
Of course, no problem.
That's it. Yeah. Stop the